Last week when Bob asked me to speak today, I had been going through and trying to work out in my mind the chronology of Jesus' birth. And so I've studied that a little further this week, and if you'll indulge me this morning, I'd like to go on a journey with you this morning through that chronology. It's primarily in two of the Gospels, Matthew and Luke. And although I don't normally ask that you follow along real closely, I'm going to do a lot of reading today, so I'd kind of like you to follow along. I'd like you to particularly follow along in the New King James Bible that's in your actual pews, if you don't mind today. These Bibles are interesting in that they, and some of the younger people want to kind of follow along too and kind of have a little treasure hunt. These Bibles have stars in them in the margins. And if the star is not filled in, these stars are prophecies about the Messiah. And if the stars are not filled in, it's a prophecy that has not is when it was made. And when the star is filled in, it's a fulfillment of that prophecy. So as we're, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that particular thing, but as we go through the readings, you can just kind of notice the little stars and the sides of the margins and see if it's a prophecy that was being made or if it's a prophecy that is actually being fulfilled. If you'd like to follow along in those Bibles, that would be great. So, we're going to start with in Luke 1, 1 through 25. I'm not going to read this because Marty read that for me this morning. But this is the start. It's kind of before the birth of Christ. It's about the birth of John the Baptist. First 25 verses, we talk about Elizabeth and Zacharias and the promise that John the Baptist was going to be born. If you go down to the 26th verse, though, the 26th verse, it says that now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. And what that means is in the sixth month, it means in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. That's kind of where we left off this morning with Marty. In the sixth month, Gabriel then goes to Nazareth, where Mary and Joseph are. So I'm going to start reading in Luke chapter 1, if you follow along there, verses 26 through 56. I'm going to skip some of it. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary and that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." And then Mary said, and then Mary sings her song here. I'm going to skip that part, although it's really good. You can read it later, or we'll sing a song later maybe. And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her house. So in this part here, we have, Mary is originally in Nazareth, so she's originally from there. She's betrothed to Joseph. Gabriel comes to her and tells her about what's going to happen to her. And So she immediately goes, and she goes to her relative's house, Elizabeth, who has now been pregnant for 6 months. Did she tell Joseph about what Gabriel had told her? I don't think so at this point. I think he finds out later. As we kind of read through the story, I've worked it out in my mind. I get the impression she probably didn't tell him at this point. It says she immediately got up and she ran to Elizabeth's house. And she stays there for about 3 months, about until the time that Elizabeth is about ready to have her baby. Luke 1:57-80 is the end of the chapter. I'm going to skip this part too. This is the end of the rest of the story that Mari read this morning. If you're interested in reading about the birth of John the Baptist, then you can finish that up. That's a pretty interesting part, but it doesn't really talk about Jesus as much. So then we're going to go to Matthew chapter 1. So we have to do this in chronological order. We got to skip around a little bit. So we're going to go to Matthew chapter 1, and we're going to start in the 18th verse. 18th verse is where we need to go to, and we're going to read Matthew 1:18-24. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take you to Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. We see Joseph, being a just man, finding out his wife is pregnant, was going to put her away privately. I mean, she could have been killed for this, but he was going to put her away privately. And why? Had she told him? Had she told him now that Gabriel visited me and this is why I'm pregnant? Perhaps, maybe she did. But whatever the reason is, it doesn't sound like, even if she did, Joseph might not have believed her. She goes off to see Elizabeth for 3 months and comes back, and Joseph finds out that she's pregnant. That's going to be a hard thing for a man to understand and grasp. And so whether or not she told him or not, Joseph thought something bad had happened here, and he was going to put her away privately. And so we have this this passage here where this Joseph is told specifically, don't do this. It is true that she is pregnant because of God coming upon her, and that her son and your son is going to be the son of God. Now, if you look at the end, at the very next verse in Matthew 2, I want to point this out. It says, and we'll come back to this, but it says, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem. So what happens in Matthew 2 is after Jesus was born in Bethlehem. So there's a lot of people that kind of get confused on the chronology. I do too. That's why I've been studying it. Matthew doesn't actually mention, events that happened right at the birth of Jesus. A lot of people think it does. It doesn't. The part we read was right before that happened, about talking about Jesus, and then everything in chapter 2 is after Jesus was born in Bethlehem. So we're going to have to come back to that, because we need to go back, of course, now to Luke, because Luke does talk about events that happened right at the birth of Jesus. So we're going to go to Luke chapter 2. We have to jump back and forth. I put bookmarks in there. If you have some bookmarks, you might want to bookmark them. Luke chapter 2, the first five verses. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinus was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So he knows she's with child. he's taken her as his wife, and they are traveling to Bethlehem to be counted in the census. Now, he wouldn't have to take her if he wasn't going to consider her to be his wife. There's no reason for her to do that, but he's going to count her as part of his family in Bethlehem. So this is already after the angel that came to Joseph and told him that you need to keep her as your wife. So this is after this part, and we know, of course, she's about ready to have this child. So we're already 6 months after John the Baptist has been born. And of course, we see that they're living in Nazareth. This is their original hometown. This is where they were living. They were living in Nazareth at the beginning. Verse 6 and 7. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. There's a lot of people in Bethlehem. They're all coming here to be registered for the census, and there wasn't any room for them to stay at this point. I think maybe on a little while later they probably have a place to stay. But at this point, right here at this moment, they don't have a place to stay. And so, of course, the Christ child is born and placed in a manger. Verses 8 through 20. Now there was in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day, in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find the babes wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. So we emphasize that it was the same day, that very day when Jesus was born, the shepherds in the field were told about it, and they went in haste right to the manger and saw the babe there and were praising God. That happened right on the day of Jesus' birth. The shepherds were there, right there on the day of Jesus' birth. One point I'll make in verse 16, it says that you will find the babe lying in a manger. And the Greek for that babe is brephos, and it means a newborn child, or it can even mean a not quite newborn child, which the world would call a fetus. The Greek calls it a baby, either way, before or after, but it means right at the time of birth. That's what brephos means. And that's the only place we have referred to Jesus as a baby, is right here in this particular thing. We'll come to another passage here in a little bit. So now Jesus is born, and we're going to actually now go to maybe a strange place, you might think. We're going to go to Leviticus. We're going to go to Leviticus because we need to kind of have some background on what happens when a Jewish woman has a firstborn son. There's rules for what needs to happen. So in Leviticus chapter 12, we'll just be here for a little while, and then we'll go back. You won't have to come back to Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 12, we're going to read the first three verses. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel, saying, if a woman has conceived and born a male child, then she shall be unclean 7 days, as in the days of her customary impurity, she shall be unclean. And on the eighth day, the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised." So 7 days of impurity, on the eighth day, the male child needs to be circumcised. That was going to be the case for any Jewish male child that's going to be born. And it's the same case for Jesus. And so 8 days after Jesus' birth, Jesus was going to have to be circumcised. Now, you don't have to maybe necessarily go anywhere. You could go to the local synagogue. That could have happened. But a priest could have come to the house and had the little ceremony there. We don't really know exactly how this happened with Jesus. But we know that on the eighth day, Jesus was to be circumcised. Verses 4 through 5 in Leviticus 12. She shall then continue in the blood of her purification 33 days. She shall not touch any hallowed thing nor come into the sanctuary until the days of her purification are fulfilled. But if she bears, but if she bears a female child, then she shall be unclean 2 weeks, as in her customary impurity, and she shall continue in the blood of her purification 66 days. So for a male child, which Jesus was, there would be 33 more days on top of that first seven. So it technically, it doesn't read quite that way here, but it's 40 days. 40 days she would have to go to Jerusalem to offer the proper sacrifice for her purification. You'll notice that there is the female version there, and this is the passage I've always taken Maddie to try to prove to her that daughters are three times more the hassle. 66 days for a daughter, and so as I'm still getting that wedding out of my mind, you know, and all the work I had to do for that thing. So, but yes, for a male child, it was 33 days. 33 days, and for a female child, it was 66. Yeah, so that, I guess, that's twice as much the hassle. So, shouldn't be so hard on her, I guess. Okay. So it's going to be 40 days, then she needs to go to Jerusalem, and 40 days after he's born. Verses 6 and 7, I'm going to read all the way through. Yeah, it's 6 and 7, I guess. Then the days of her purification are fulfilled, whether for a son or a daughter. She shall bring to the priest a lamb of the first year as a burnt offering, and a young pigeon or a turtle dove as a sin offering to the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Then he shall offer it before the Lord and make atonement for her, and she shall be clean from the flow of her blood. This is the law for her who has born a male or a female. Male or a female. So it doesn't matter. Whenever you go to the Jerusalem, to the temple, the offering that was required was a lamb and a bird. There's two different types of birds here that you could do. You could pick whichever one. But it was a lamb and it was a bird that was supposed to be the offering. Now, verse 8. And you have to maybe read another translation to get the full effect of this. But, and if she is not able to bring a lamb. Now, why would that be that she can't bring a lamb? It's because she can't afford the lamb. Because in Jesus' time even, everything was being sold right there in Jerusalem. So you could do the lamb and the bird. And you should do the lamb and the bird. If it was within your means to purchase that, you should be doing that. But if she cannot bring a lamb, which means she couldn't afford a lamb, she'd be a poorer person. And, you know, woe to you if you brought the two birds instead of a lamb and a bird when you could afford it. That's not proper worship. That's what we have in the Old Testament. And if she is not able to bring a lamb, then she may bring two turtle doves or two young pigeons. One is a burnt offering and the other is a sin offering. So the priest shall make atonement for her and she will be clean. They could bring two birds instead if they were poorer people. All right, so that's kind of the background of that. Whoops, let's go back to Luke chapter 2. Back to Luke chapter 2, verse 21. And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. They're fulfilling the law here. 8 days later, Jesus was given his name. That's when usually the name was given, on the day of the circumcision, and he was circumcised. Luke 2, 22 through 24. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, which would be 40 days after the birth, were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord and offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord. And then what does it say? What did they offer? A pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. That's interesting there. That what it says that they offered here would have meant that Mary and Joseph were probably poor. That they probably couldn't afford the lamb. Luke 2, 25 through 38. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and devout, and waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Now there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And coming in that instance, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those people who looked for the redemption in Jerusalem. So when they had performed all these things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own city of Nazareth. Okay, I really wanted to stop there at verse 38. So 40 days after the birth, they are in Jerusalem fulfilling the law. While they're there fulfilling the law, they meet these two, I love this story, these two interesting people. And the one servant who'd been waiting there forever and says, now I can die. He literally says to God, you can take me now. It's been fulfilled. I get to hold the Savior in my arms, is what he did. And so we have these interesting stories about what they're doing in Jerusalem. Now keep in mind, you know, this is 40 days after the birth of Jerusalem, and I know some of you are familiar enough with the birth of Jesus that there's some things that haven't happened yet that we normally think of that happens right when he was born. It's not in the chronology. It's not they're 40 days and they're already at Jerusalem. Now in verse 39, so after verse 38, there's where I'm going to throw out kind of two theories where I've been trying to study it and trying to figure out. At verse 38, there's in Jerusalem. And then at verse 39 it says, so when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Nazareth. And so I'll admit, last week, if I gave this talk, I probably would have said something different. I kind of felt like they went back after Jerusalem, after the 40 days after the birth, they went back to Nazareth. As I've looked through this more, there's a lot of examples of Luke, who is a great historian, but there are times between verses where you have like a lot more time, or there's things that happened that you can get from other gospels that Luke might leave out. So what I'm going to do is, as we go through here, I put a hard line in after verse 38. Eventually, they do get back to Nazareth, so verse 39 is correct. But I think there's some things that happen probably in between verse 38 and 39, and I'll go through those, and then you can, you know, disagree with me. So, at verse 38, I think they probably go back to Jerusalem. So if you look at the map, go back to Bethlehem. Bethlehem is only 6 miles south of Jerusalem. It's only 6 miles south. Nazareth is like 80 miles north. Okay? So, a woman who's just had a baby and has been, you know, 40 days ago, at that time, that travel of 80 miles might seem, I don't know. I think she's probably hanging out in Bethlehem for a while. I think they're probably staying in Bethlehem for a while. Eventually, they will get back to Nazareth. And I'll kind of try to explain why I think that possibly is. So we go to the next chronological thing. So if we're going to stop at 38, they're in Jerusalem. And then I think they probably went back to Bethlehem to stay there for a while. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 2. 1-6. They might have went to Nazareth, and they might have come back down to Bethlehem, because we find out later that they came to Jerusalem every single year. Every single year they came down to Jerusalem. So it could be 1 year later and they're back down staying in Bethlehem as they're visiting Jerusalem. We just don't really quite know about that part. Matthew chapter 2, 1-6. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born, king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. There's a lot that's packed into here. First of all, these are people from the Far East. They could have come almost 1,000 miles to come to Jerusalem. That would have taken a while. They would have had a caravan of things and gifts and stuff that they were bringing. They probably knew about the prophecy and knew about that this was going to happen, I believe, from Daniel. Daniel was over there, right? He was a prisoner. He was in Persia. And he had done a lot of prophecies about when this was going to happen. I think they probably could have known some of this because of the book of Daniel, which they would have had and would have been able to read. So it's going to take them a long time to get to Jerusalem. They come to Jerusalem. They ask, where is it that the king, that the apparently the star is, no, they don't see the star anymore. We find out here in a little bit that they're not seeing the star when they get to Jerusalem. And they ask, where is it that he was supposed to be born? And it's interesting. They know, right? The Jews know. Herod says, where is it? Look it up. And they looked it up. It's very simple. They look it up in the prophets and they say, he's supposed to be born, the Messiah is supposed to be born in Bethlehem. We all know that. We're all Jews. We all know where the Messiah is supposed to be born. It's supposed to be in Bethlehem. And so, I guess one other point here is that, I don't want to finally get to it quite yet. Let's keep on going here. So we're going to go to verse 7 through 12. Yeah, 7 through 12. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also. When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star, which they had seen in the east, went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. So the star reappears, and they start following the star again. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. So, here it talks about a young child or an infant. And if you look up the Greek for that, it's paidion, which means a small child or an infant, not a babe, not a babe. How old is he here? I don't know. My guess is at least one and maybe two years old. And where is he? Is he in Nazareth or in Bethlehem? Well, doesn't technically say. It says that Herod sent them to Bethlehem, but when they started going out, they see the star where the child was and they followed it. I don't know where they went to. My guess originally was Nazareth, but I don't think so now. I think they're still probably in Bethlehem. They're living there in a house somewhere. It says they found him in a house, not in the manger. They're not out in the barn anymore. And he's not a baby anymore. He's a child. And how do we know he's probably one or two? Because Herod investigated exactly what time did you see the star? And they said something. We don't know what it was. But we know that Herod came up with a plan that involved no more than 2 years. Herod wants to make sure that he's going to kill the Christ child. And he knows that he has, according to what he heard from the Magi, that I don't have to do this any more than 2 years. I will cover it if I kill everybody that's up to 2 years old. So Christ is probably, I used to say Christ is maybe 2 years old. I think Herod would be smarter than that. I think Christ is probably maybe more like one or one and a half. That's why Herod put on the two to make sure that he would possibly get them. Now, of course, we have three gifts that are mentioned. Does that mean there's three wise men? No, we don't know for sure. Could have been. I tend to think it's probably a big caravan of a lot of magi that came. It was probably a big group of people that came. It could have been three, though. I'm not going to be dogmatic about that. Okay. So, Matthew chapter 2, 13 through 15. Now when they had departed, by the way, the other reason I think, if they started heading out for Jerusalem, starting following the star, they would be going which way if he was in Nazareth? North. Straight up north, right? And I think Herod might have said, why are they going north? I just sent them south to Bethlehem. So it seems to me that they probably were going on to Bethlehem. This whole chapter talks about Bethlehem and the warnings and stuff. So I think that's probably another reason why I think they probably were still, at this point, living in Bethlehem. Okay, Matthew 2, 13 through 15. Now when they had departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise, take the young child as mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." When he arose and took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, "Out of Egypt I called my son." So we have a warning that you need to leave and you need to flee to Egypt. That's my maybe third point or something, why I think that they're probably not in Nazareth anymore, that they're probably in Bethlehem. If they were in Nazareth, that's in Galilee. Bethlehem's in Judea. They were ruled by different people. Now, it was their brothers, but the rule was going to be about Bethlehem. If they were in Nazareth, there probably wouldn't have been even a reason to go to Egypt, except for, obviously, to fulfill prophecy, right? This was a prophecy that had to happen. So I think they probably are in Bethlehem, and they're being warned, you need to leave, and you need to go down to Egypt. So they take off towards Egypt. All right, Matthew 2, chapter 16 through 18. Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceeding angry, and he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all its districts from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. That's how he made his... It wasn't just a rash decision. You know, evil can be intelligent sometimes. He was making... he wanted to make sure that he was going to kill this child, so he did it 2 years and under, according to the time that he had heard from the Magi. We just don't know what the Magi said, but according to that time, he made this this proclamation. Then it was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, "A voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping, and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because they are no more." Verse 19 through 23. Now when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, "Arise and take the young child and his mother, and go to the land," take the young child and his mother, "and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the young child's life are dead." Then he arose, took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea instead of his brother Herod, he was afraid to go there. That makes me think that he was still trying to come back to Bethlehem. That's Judea. But he was afraid to go there, so where did he go instead? And being warned by God in a dream, he turned aside into the region of Galilee. He went up there to Galilee, and he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, which is where they originally were from at the beginning of today's lesson, that it might be fulfilled which is spoken by the prophets, "He shall be called a Nazarene." And of course, we know that's where Jesus grows up. That's where Jesus ends up growing up. So then we can go back to Luke 2:39, which is where I think now that verse, which I always put earlier, now Luke 2:39 maybe makes more sense. It says, "So when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord," everything that God had told them to do, everything, including going to Egypt, everything, "they returned to Galilee to their own city, Nazareth." And that's where he ends up being. And if you read just a few more verses, it says, "And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover, and when he was 12 years old," and then there's more story there if you're interested. Okay, that takes him up to when he was 12. That's not what I was going to cover today. Earlier, Nick talked about why we're here today. We're here today, we are citizens of the kingdom, and we came and assembled together today to proclaim the Lord's death. The scriptures are clear on that. That's why we come together. We come together to proclaim the Lord's death, his burial, and his resurrection. That is what caused your redemption. But I don't want to belittle the birth of Jesus. It was important. The death, burial, and resurrection is what caused your redemption. But the birth of Jesus pointed to the world who that Redeemer was going to be. You should not miss him. You should have seen him coming. And you should have seen all the fulfillments of all the prophecies that were surrounding that great event of the birth of Jesus. And that should point to you and make you realize that there is the Redeemer. There is the Redeemer. And I need to follow him. And so if you have not been redeemed this morning, we ask you that you do that. I'd like to read one last passage. "But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. If you'd like to receive that redemption, we ask that you come forward as we stand and sing.